That's his song, isn't it? I've heard him sing a lot of songs, but that one just suits him so well. And I appreciate you doing that for me, Brother Walsh. Let's turn our Bibles tonight, please. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Somebody said to me on the way out the door, I don't know if it was a compliment or a complaint, but they said, do you know you preached an hour this morning? So I don't know what that means. So I owe you some time, as I think what they meant, but I'm sorry, I don't know how that works. John chapter 6. This morning, I just want to share this with you. The person I'm going to talk about isn't here tonight, so I don't mean to. Somebody complained to me at the end of the service and said, you know, preacher, all those tears don't do any good. It just means you've given up hope. I said, that's not what it means at all. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Jesus Christ stood at the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says in John 11:35, Jesus wept because he loved Mary. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that Lazarus was about to walk out of there, but he was weeping because he hurt for them. Nothing wrong with that. So don't. That's just a hard-hearted Christian that would think that way. Don't be hard-hearted. You know, we are to bear one another's burdens, the Bible says. So don't be afraid of the tears. John chapter 6, just look at verses 5, 6, and 7 tonight, and I'll do my best to get you out of here in a decent time. I won't keep you like I did this morning, but I hope you'll stay for some fellowship after. The ladies have worked hard to put together some food for us, and we're looking forward to that. We'll make our way to the gym and have some fellowship after. But look at John chapter 6, and the Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I don't know why, but the first time I read that scripture earlier this week in preparation, I kind of laughed a little bit. This is Jesus asking human flesh, what are we going to do? He knew exactly what he was going to do. This is just a test. So he says to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand your word tonight and speak to our hearts. And Father, we're thankful for the wonderful blessing that you have given us in music. And Lord, both Mr. and Mrs. Walsh's songs tonight have just touched my heart and blessed me. And I thank you, Lord. I just felt like I could walk up and give an invitation, Lord, for the message of song. So, Lord, I pray that the songs would have the appropriate effect and prepare us for your word. And, Lord, I pray that as we look into your word tonight, the Holy Spirit of God would help me, fill me. I need your help. And speak to each one of us tonight, we pray. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ looked up and he saw the multitudes that were all around, and he turned to Philip and he says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Philip is a man that we find several times in the Word of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 43, we see that when he was first called to follow the Lord, the Bible says the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Two verses later, we find that Philip, after having trusted Christ to follow him, the Bible says that he became a soul winner when it says, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael began an argument with Philip by saying, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip answered him, come and see. Nathanael came and saw the Lord and confessed him as the Son of God. In John chapter 12, we find that there were certain Greeks that came to where Jesus was, and they approached first and found Philip. And when they came to Philip, they desired to see Jesus. So Philip went to Andrew, and he and Andrew together took these Greeks to Jesus Christ. And there they met the Savior. In both these times, we find that Philip was very wise in pointing people to Jesus Christ. First, he says, come and see. And secondly, the Greeks, he brings their problem to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 8, we find a very strange occurrence, an extraordinary quest. Philip says to the Lord, he says, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now, I'm not sure what Philip was thinking. Maybe he was hoping God would Jesus would take him up on a mountaintop and open up the heavens and reveal the throne of God to him and see God in his glory. I don't know exactly what he was hoping that Christ would do. Maybe put him into some sort of trance that he could have an out-of-body experience and see the Lord God the Father. I'm really not sure what he was asking for, but he says, "Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us." And Christ gave the answer, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And thou sayest thou then, show us the Father." You know, for my part, I'm glad that Philip made the request, because it just solidified the person of Jesus Christ, that when we see Jesus, we see the Father. That we see God incarnate, we see God in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ. Now we read about, in John chapter 6, the testing of Philip. You know, Christ was always concerned about others, wasn't he? You'll remember in another passage of Scripture, a parallel passage of Scripture, as the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon the multitudes and they were hungry, some of the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Let's send them away." And Jesus said, "No, have them sit down." And somewhere along the way, he turned to Philip and he said, "Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? How are we going to feed all of these?" And the Bible says he said this to prove him or to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. I want to look at three things very quickly tonight. And the first thing we'll look at is the test. And then we'll look at the answer. And then we'll look at the result. The test we see in Scripture is that Philip was tested and God was asking him, "How are we going to feed all these people?" Jesus knew the answer, and Philip might have given a carnal answer. He might have said, "Well, maybe we can raise some money. Maybe we'll take an offering among the people and somebody can run into town and buy some bread." But he didn't look at the physical resources. Instead, Philip, the Bible says, as you'll look down in verse 7, Philip answered, "200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them." Philip's answer is, "There is not enough. We don't have what it takes to meet these needs." I want to suggest to you tonight that the Lord is always testing us. And there are times in this life where things will come up in your life and you will say, "What are we going to do next?" I'm here to tell you tonight that the Lord is not stymied. The Lord is able to meet that need. And though you look around and you say, what am I going to do physically speaking and carnally speaking and with the resources that I have, it is just not enough to meet this need. But my friends, my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My Father has appointed His Son as the great physician. We have no need to fear or worry when it comes to testing, because God is able. You say, why would God test us in the first place? And I will suggest three reasons tonight. The first is, He tests us that we may know ourselves. Do you know that God has given you God-given abilities? Now, I'm not here to promote your abilities tonight. I'm not here to promote your gifts. I believe that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But let's just be honest tonight. God gave each one of you a spiritual gift to use for His glory. God gave some of you natural talents. I appreciated the Walsh's singing tonight. God gave them a natural talent that they are to use for His glory. But if it's never tested, how would they know? You know, years ago, I can remember going down to Ambassador Baptist Church, and it was funny. I don't know if Pastor Masker had not had a vacation in years or what the deal was, but almost as soon as I got there, he said, "I'll see you later. I'm taking a break." And it was probably very true, because in small churches, the pastor just can't leave. There's nobody to preach. There's nobody to cover. And I said, "Here, I got to tell you something." I said, "The only time I've ever gotten a pulpit and preach, other than in preacher's workshop," I said, "in preacher's workshop, we're only allowed 10 minutes. I said, "We could preach for 10 minutes, and that's it." I said, "The only time I ever preached in a pulpit was a Wednesday night at Bethel. I preached everything I knew, and I was done in 12 minutes. I said, "We may have some of the shortest services while you're gone." He says, "That's okay." I got up the first Sunday and I had 20 pages of notes. Foolscap. Handwritten. I figured one page was good for 2 minutes. And because I talk pretty quick, don't I? I read even faster. And I burnt through those things and I got through a full message and I thought, that's great. But now I got to run home and write another 20 pages for tonight. But you know, we look at something like that and I say, I'll never be able to do what Pastor Master, I'll never do what Dr. Stryker said. I'll never get up and preach the Word of God. And you never know until you're tested. You find out what God can do with you. You know, we have a lot of people that are working in a lot of ministries. I don't know, maybe Mrs. Took said, I can never run a bus ministry. I can never go and knock on doors. Maybe some of you are saying, I can't go to, I can't, I'm afraid to go and knock on somebody's door and tell them, well, let God test you and see what He can do. We are tested to see what our abilities are. I think secondly, He tests us to strengthen us. You see, if we will pass the Lord's test, we are better prepared for the next time. Now, Philip didn't pass the test. The Bible says he said, there's just not enough. It's not sufficient. But what happens 3 weeks down the road where the Lord is preaching out on a hillside and there's thousands of people that are hungry? Philip's going to look at the Lord and says, I know where they're getting lunch this time. You see, because he'd been tested. And it built his faith. And encouraged his heart. The Lord will test you in this life to strengthen you. You know, it's interesting, when I was I think it was about junior high, there was a young man in our school, and we were only in 7th and 8th grade, but he was about 6'3". And we went out there and we'd practice every day doing the high jump and all the stuff that we had to do for field day. And so we went out there and he practiced and it was interesting. Believe it or not, I could jump higher than he could. Amazing. Now, I wasn't carrying the extra weight then, but I wasn't near as tall as he was. But for some reason, I could jump higher than him. I don't know why. And I'm not saying I was the highest jumper. There was lots of guys that could do it. He just couldn't do it for some reason. But he kept out working there, and the teacher says, you know what, you've got the height. He says, you're 6'3", you're solid muscle, you're 170 pounds. He says, you ought to be able to just fly over that bar. And so the teacher stayed after and worked with him every day and tested him and tried him. And when it came track and field day, he broke the county record. And not only did he break the county record for grades 7 and 8, he shattered it for 12th graders as well. But you see, constantly he was putting himself to the test and putting himself to the test till finally he could just fly over that bar. You see, God uses tests to strengthen us, to help us through. I said this, I don't mean it to be profound or anything. I said this the Sunday morning I preached after my father's funeral. I said, this has been a good lesson for a young preacher. I didn't mean to put my dad down or anything like that. But it sure was a lesson for me. All of a sudden, I knew what other people in the church, how they were hurting. I knew what they were going through and what they were feeling. Testing makes us stronger. It makes us better able to perform the task that God has given us. Testing's never easy, but it'll always make you better. It's like exercise, isn't it? How many of you hate the word exercise as much as I do? But we know that exercise is good for us. I kick that exercise bike every time I walk by it. I hate that thing. But we know it makes us healthy. We know it makes us strong. We know that we can do things later on. I remember every time I get on that exercise bike, boy, it's hard for the first week. Then after a while, I feel like, man, I feel so much better. I take stairs two at a time. I feel like I can run for miles. And just after a little bit of exercise, because the testing of our body strengthens us. God allows tests in our life to strengthen us. And thirdly, I believe He allows tests in our lives to destroy all self-sufficiency. Just so you can find out you can't do it on your own. That you don't have to do it on your own. You know, so many of us we're macho men. I'm going to talk to the men for a minute, ladies. We think we can do all things on our own. You can't, and you don't have to. I'll admit, I'm like that. I like to be able to help others when somebody's, I want to pray with them. I want to get down there. But when I like to pray for my own problems myself. I don't know why that is. It's just, I guess it's a man thing. It's a stubborn thing. It's a self-sufficiency thing. But God allows tests in our lives to destroy that self-sufficiency. You know that you can do all things through Christ. You can't do them yourself. God was testing Philip and saying to Philip, what are we going to do? And Philip's answer should have been, I can't do anything about it, but you can. There's nothing that I can do in my own strength. But I know if I give these 200 penny worth of bread to you, you can do something with it. He should have learned not to be self-sufficient. So we see the test. And then we see the answer. The Bible says Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. I believe tonight there's four things wrong with his answer. First of all, his answer was hasty. If he had taken some more time to think and mull this over a little bit, I believe he would have given the right answer. How many of you have an issue come up in your life, a problem come up in your life, and boy, it takes a long time before you decide, maybe we better pray about this. Well, at least we can pray. It ought to be the first thing you do. Philip didn't realize that in his answer, he was looking upon the physical realm of things. But listen, my friend, we have a God that is able to do whatever He decides He's going to do. He is bound by nothing short of His Word. The universe can stand still. The sun has stood still for Joshua. If He can do that, He can handle our little problems. His answer was so quick. I wonder, as the words fell out of His mouth, if He regretted them right away. If He said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Jesus is right. He could have done something. What am I thinking? But sometimes we act so quickly without praying. We make decisions without consulting the Lord. His answer was a hasty answer. Secondly, His answer was self-sufficient. He was looking to His own resources and to that of others around Him. I told you that I believe testing comes to destroy our self-sufficiency. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the answer that Philip gave demonstrated that he believed he was self-sufficient. That he could do things on his own. He was looking to his own resources. Let me say this. If there is a problem that comes in your life that you can solve with your own resources, it's really not a problem. Is it? If there's something that comes in your life, if your car breaks down and you got $1,000 in the bank, you can throw at that problem and fix it. That's not a problem. That's something God already solved by giving you the money. But we look at that and we fret and we worry. A problem is something that is serious enough for God is when we have no resources left of our own and say, God, I need you to deal with this. You know, so often we call and ask for a loan. We look for other things to fill the gap and to take care of our needs, and we listen to everybody around us. Friend, I'm here to tell you that if you want to get the best answer for your problems, you need to take it to the Lord. Quit being self-sufficient. His answer was faithless. There was no faith whatsoever in his answer, was there? Lord, we don't have much. Let me tell you this, the Lord doesn't need much. All he needs is the faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain. All he needs is just a little bit of faith that say, I can take this bread and I can give it to the Lord and let's see what he can do with it. But there was no faith in his answer. You know, often we pray and we just don't believe. And we worry and we fret. Have faith in God. And he said, but I don't know what to do. Then pray like the disciples, help Lord my unbelief. I'm here to tell you this, folks. We need to see some miracles around here. Brother Taves is counting on a miracle. He's counting on a miracle. And when I think of my faith, I hope he's not counting on me to deliver it. How about you? Take a minute and examine yourselves. If I were the only friend that Art Taves had, is my faith big enough to pray away his cancer? The Bible says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be given unto you. The problem is the abiding part. Are we abiding in Christ like we should? We need some miracles. We need to see God move. We need to see souls saved. But it doesn't come from a faithless generation. The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ went to a place, and the Bible says He would have done many works there, but He could not because of their unbelief. Do you have the faith? Do you have the faith that you need? His answer was faithless. His answer was forgetful. After all he had just seen, after all the things he'd seen, he'd been there when the Lord turned water to wine. He'd seen Him calm raging seas. He'd seen Him heal blind eyes and cleanse lepers. And yet He says, we don't have enough food to feed all these people. Have you forgotten what the Lord has done? There's a great song I like. Pastor Walsh, you'll need to sing this one sometime too, all right? With all the many miracles. You know that song? The song talks about the Israelites. It says, God gave the bold command to take an army and seize the land. But the spies came back, and I was just going to kind of give you the summary. The spies came back, and of course they complained about the giants and all the cities with the walls around them and all the enemies that they must face. And the song, I guess, is from the perspective of Moses, and he just says, with all the many miracles, with all the things you've seen, with the parting of the Red Sea, with your deliverance out of Egypt, what are you thinking? We're able. We need to have faith in what God has done and what He can do. Don't be forgetting who the Lord really is. Philip needs to learn to lean upon Christ. What is your answer in the hour of testing? Do you throw up your hands and give up? Do you look to yourself and say, I'm going to fight through this. I'm going to have the victory. I'm going to win. Or do you say, God is able. I've put myself into the hands of the Lord. And thirdly, tonight we see the result. Philip hung his head and he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Now look what he says. But what are they among so many? Can I tell you this? An unbelief is contagious. I'll tell you what. If we want to start a piece of juicy gossip over in this corner, it'll get to that corner lightning quick. But if we want to get over here and say, praise the Lord for what He has done, boy, it moves so much slower, doesn't it? Boy, we like the juicy stuff. We like the stuff that hurts people. But when we get to the point where we want to say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done, boy, it's like just like moving like a slow train. But that unbelief, boy, it's contagious. When we say God is not able, everybody seems to believe that. We pray for somebody that's in financial difficulty and we get up off our knees and we nudge our brother and say, boy, they're really in trouble, aren't they? Didn't you just pray? That's nothing to God. Gold is just pavement to Him. I mean, come on. We need to have the faith to believe. I want to suggest to you this tonight, and I'm not trying to be hurtful or unkind, but if you want to be negative and have an attitude that God is not able to do anything, please just keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. If you want to hang your head and say, oh, woe is me, I serve a small God, you don't serve the same God I serve. I don't want to hear it. Because it's contagious. It'll get you down. We don't need that. I think Philip stood beside the Lord Jesus Christ and Andrew come running up with some fishes and some loaves, and maybe he was excited about what he had found, But then when he heard Philip, he says, yeah, but what are they among so many? Unbelief is contagious. Philip's unbelief spread to Andrew. And I want you to notice that you can either throw fuel on a fire and it spreads, or you can throw water on it and it extinguishes. You just have to decide what you're going to do. When you hear gossip, why don't you throw some water on it? When you hear God is good, why don't you throw some fuel on it? Why don't you encourage somebody's faith? Look what happened in verse 12. And when they were filled. Wait a minute, Philip, I didn't think we had enough. Wait a minute, Andrew, I didn't think we had enough food. That's not enough to feed. What is that among so many? Could I suggest to you something tonight? The 200 penny worth of bread was not enough. You say, I got no faith. Well, hold on. The two fishes here and the little loaves of the five barley loaves, it wasn't enough. Do you know what was enough? Jesus was enough. It wasn't about the resources that he had. Jesus needed money to pay Caesar, so he went down and fished out a little fish and pulled a coin out of his mouth. I'd like to see David Copperfield pull that. Amen. He doesn't need resources. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, and you will see later on that God made some things in Genesis. But there's a difference between the word created and made. The word created means to create something from nothing. He didn't need anything, he just did it. The word made means to take something else. Ladies, you don't create dinner, you make dinner. Right? You take ingredients and you put them together. You didn't create that. Only God can create. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't need anything. He can create stuff. You say, well, I'm kind of scared about some things going on. God can take care of it. But you have to have the faith to believe. And let me say this. The Bible says if we offend one of these little ones, it'd be better that a millstone were hung around our necks and we were thrown into the sea. Now, when God says little ones, I don't think He's talking about children. I think He's talking about His little ones. We're all His children. Don't offend them. So when somebody says, I just really believe that God's going, don't you say, well, yeah, well, we haven't seen it like that in years. Don't you offend them. You keep your mouth shut and let God's glory be seen. Your unbelief is contagious. But you know, your excitement could be contagious too. If you'll get on board and you'll start believing the Bible and you'll start cleansing your life. Listen, if we're going to see some miracles in this church, we need to get our lives right with God. He said, but I pray. You can't pray in sin and expect God to hear. That's like telling your wife you love her when you got a girlfriend. I don't say that to be funny. I'm very serious. You have split your affections. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. If you want to see God do some miracles, get your lives right with God. I'm preaching to me too. If we're going to have the kind of faith to see God bring about deliverance, if we're going to see God do some miracles in this place, we need to be right. We need to be right. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. It's one of the very simplest principles in all the Bible, and yet we fail to see it on a daily basis. Folks, I want to see some miracles. I believe that not only we talk about so much about God can, I believe God will, if we'll get our lives right and start obeying Him. Can we see God do something here? Are you willing to do what it takes in your life that you can be a faithful prayer warrior for a Art Taves or a Beulah Grummet that so desperately need God's touch in their lives right now? Will you be one that's willing to say, I'm willing to purge some things out of my life that instead of being like a Philip, I'll be like Peter on the day of Pentecost? Let's pray. Father, help us to understand and speak to our hearts. Father, get a hold of us, each one of us, Lord, that we might do what it takes. Lord, that we might be faithful in lifting up others before the throne of grace. Help us, Lord, we pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano is going to begin to play. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come even now?